are listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. So in a book that was first published in 1968, a book still in print today, the author Martin Bell offered a reflection on tonight's parable that caught my attention when I was still a high school student back in the late 1970s. The book is called The Way of the Wolf, and it combined Bell's short stories with some musings on biblical questions and even some original song lyrics. Bell was an Anglican priest in ministry in the States. And somehow, his writings had made a deep impact on the leaders of my Young Life group here in Winnipeg. Young Life was very active in the city at the time, a sort of a variation on Youth for Christ, I suppose. I still have my hardcover edition of the book from high school. And time and again, I've returned to Martin Bell's unique and often deeply insightful writing. So here, in now my 37th year of ordination, when the parable of the wheat and the weeds comes up in the lectionary, or the wheat and the tares, as the King James translation would have it, I find myself going back to a book that I've been returning to for some 45 years. You just heard the parable read aloud, along with the interpretation that Jesus offers to his disciples once the crowd has dispersed. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, Jesus says, but while everybody is asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. No, the householder says to his servants, don't try to pull up the weeds now, because you'll also tear up some of the good wheat. Let it all be until harvest time, and only then divide the wheat from the weeds, from the tares. Collect the weeds first, he says, and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then when the disciples, so often rather dense in the Gospels, hoping that Jesus will bring about a victorious kingdom that will knock the Roman Empire out of the way and in which they will reign at his right and his left hand, those disciples ask for an interpretation of this teaching. And he says, what he says seems to divide humanity rather neatly. He says the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, the weeds are the children of the evil one, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. This is precisely where Martin Bell got me struggling in that book, with his brief essay called The Wheat and the Tares. This is how he begins. He writes, the kingdom of God, Lord, is like so many things, yet nothing at all that I've ever known. Perhaps my poor head will never even grasp a single strand from your complex multiplicity of images. But the story about the wheat and the tares will always be the hardest of all for me to understand, because at the end, the man burns the tares. And if the tares represent people, Lord, I'll never understand that. Never. Fair enough. I struggled with that question too when I was yet going to high school and faithfully attending my Young Life group. Are some of us by nature wheat? If so, are some by nature the weeds? How is God's grace truly gracious if tucked into my DNA is something that looks like wheat? while tucked into the DNA of my neighbor, might be the stuff of weeds. And I'm not talking here about the worst of my neighbors either, those who I can only call neighbor through gritted teeth. I'm not talking about the architects of the drug trade that plagues many of our neighborhoods and pulls the lives of so many people to pieces. I'm talking about the poor guy whose life has been tanked by those dealers, those drugs, who stands out at the corner of Broadway and Osborne, hoping to get some change, maybe to buy a burger, or maybe to save up for his next hit. I'm not talking about the corrupt business person who quite happily builds substandard homes in the earthquake zone of Turkey. I'm talking about the broken and maybe complicated woman who has used her last Turkish lira to pay the down payment on one of those suites the day before the building starts to collapse. Doesn't that poor guy out on the corner whose life has been compromised by the drug trade, and that complicated Turkish woman who's just lost everything because her substandard building collapsed into dust, don't they deserve something like grace too? Was I or you born with the birthright of wheat, while others, and the others aren't very far from view if you keep your eyes open, others were apparently born with the birthright of weeds, the tares. So here, Martin Bell continues in this brief essay. The kingdom of God is like so many things. I hope that the parable of the wheat and the tares is about our universal condition of sinfulness and alienation. I pray, Lord, that in the end it will be this alienation that is destroyed, the whole of humanity gathered into the kingdom. If so, then there's no longer any mystery as to the identity of the stranger who sowed the tares. He's not none other than I, myself. And there comes to my conscious awareness a new appreciation for the old saying that I am my own worst enemy. We have each of us sown the tares, and we are all of us virtually strangled by them. If this is what you're telling us, Lord, burn the tares that we have sown in order that humanity might breathe. Burn the tares and gather your children into your kingdom. I hope that's what you meant by the parable of the wheat and the tares. I believe that's what you meant. I'm betting my life that's what you meant. Because if the tares represent people, Lord, I'll never understand. Never. Amen. Jesus was not always an easy teacher. And for every beloved thing that he said, there always comes something else that's hard, troubling, perplexing. Perhaps that wasn't accidental, not at all. Maybe Jesus wants to shake us. To shake us from any all too easy conclusions about what he really meant. He wants this priest who's been standing in a pulpit or at a music stand for over 36 years to have to contend yet again with the hardest things. How else am I possibly kept honest? I mean, it's very easy to love gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But not so easy to follow the Lord who pressed his followers right to the wall with teachings that disarmed them and disarm us. This Lord whom we follow can exact a demanding price, particularly of those who walk this road over decade after decade after decade. He wants none of us to take him or his way for granted. And yet, he's also the Lord who bore the worst of us the very worst of us on a cross. As he looked down from that cross on those who were in the process of killing him, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And who do you suppose he was looking at as he prayed that prayer to his Father? Roman soldiers, the temple authorities who had orchestrated this whole death, the crowd of onlookers curious enough to come out and watch yet another crucifixion on that awful hill, not an innocent one among them. Forgive them, Father, for they haven't got a clue. And then in John's account of the crucifixion story, what does Jesus say right before he breathes his last breath? It is finished. It's accomplished. It's done. For all of the madness of this death scene, this public execution, there is nothing more that needs to happen. It is finished. It is accomplished. We are forgiven, redeemed, and claimed as God's own. Right there on that garbage dump outside of the city walls of Jerusalem, it is finished. In that light, and on that awful day, who do you suppose was wheat and who was a weed? Therefore, Paul writes, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Who on that awful day was wheat? All of us. All of us wheat. Because in him and through him, the very idea of weeds doesn't stand a chance. All we have to do is take hold of that truth and believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.